Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Thursday afternoon, January 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. One of New York's most popular pizza restaurants is opening a location in Chicago. We'll get the details in our next segment, but right now, with the Super Bowl just around the corner, the kickoff to another season is fast approaching. It's home buying season. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Drew Wisho, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. Before we talk about what you should do to get ready for home buying season, if you tabled your search last fall thinking that maybe mortgage rates will be a little bit lower once you resumed your search in the spring, what will you expect?
Happy New Year, Rob. Thanks for having me out here again. I think that it's crazy, right? I think that everybody kind of is going, well, what's going on? I mean, interest rates are supposed to be low by now. Why aren't they? And why hasn't, you know, the Feds have dropped rates? Why are the interest rates still high? And I think it's still kind of that like, we're sitting here and waiting, and we're sitting here and wondering. And, you know, I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier. The temperature is one. It's cold outside. Nobody wants to move right now. Nobody wants to do anything right now. And I think everybody's kind of in this holding pattern and waiting to see really what is truly going to happen. And I think it's just kind of a matter of time to see what will actually happen when the new president takes office next week, and where things are going to go, because I think there's still some things that have to be kind of decided and see where things are actually going to fall.
Now, there are things you can control and there are things you can't control. And of course, you as a homeowner, you can't control interest rates, nor can you control government or fiscal policy that drives those interest rates. But you can do everything you can to make sure your fiscal house is in order, just in case the right house comes along.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're selling your house, you know, you can certainly, you know, declutter, get things done, you know, around the house, fix things up, you know, make it presentable, you know, as much as you can, you know, doing the curb appeal and doing any of the little upgrades and minor repairs, you know, making sure that the home does look like it's ready and presentable for when you're ready to actually sell that house. As far as if you're ready, you know, thinking about going to buy a house, getting pre-approved, looking at some of the areas, starting your home search, kind of looking at your finances, paying down credit cards so your approval rates are higher, you know, maybe tempering your ideas and your outlook for where you wanted to live versus where you're actually going to live, and kind of taking into consideration and maybe your want list is a little bit less because maybe you can't afford what you thought you could because the interest rates are a little higher. So maybe putting a little squash on some of the things that you really wanted.
And when we talk about resetting your expectations, I mean, do we still live in the world where a lot of people come to a real estate agent and their idea of what they want out of a house is directly out of 17 or 18 different cable TV shows about house hunting, or we need to have this type of countertop, we need to have this type of architectural feature, and then the real estate agent has to talk them down?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because it's that answer is based on generation. I mean, you know, the younger generation is coming into these homes and saying, you know, I want it all done because I'm not willing to fix it. I don't know how to fix it, maybe, or I'm less willing to do some work on it. So they want to walk into the house where it's primarily done and finished, and you know, little or no work has to be done. The older generation, maybe they don't mind putting in a little elbow grease. They don't mind doing some work on it. So looking toward that fixer-upper is not a problem, because, you know, they don't mind spending less for the house because they're going to put in some of their own finishes and they're going to make it what they want it to be. So, yeah, the, you know, a lot of folks are influenced by what they see on TV. And I'll tell you, what you see on TV, you know, it's TV, folks. You know, it's something that you watch, and it's you know, staged, and it's perfect, and there are never any issues, and there's never any problems. But I, you know, being in the industry, there are problems and there are issues, and it's not always perfect, and it's never going to be as easy and methodical as it is. It comes with its headaches. So you know, be prepared for some of those obstacles and some of those bottlenecks, because they are out there.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Chicago Pizza is getting new competition from the East Coast. We'll talk about that next.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Prince Street Pizza, one of New York's most popular pizza parlors, opens in Chicago today. We welcome in Lawrence Longo, CEO of Prince Street Pizza. You can find it in Chicago at 939 West Randolph. Lawrence, thank you for joining us today. And this is a pretty ambitious undertaking, Lawrence, because I'm sure you know this. Chicagoans have very definite ideas about pizza, just as New Yorkers have very definite ideas about pizza. So are you ready to jump into one of the most provincial pizza markets in the country?
Absolutely. We're so excited to be here, and we totally have the utmost respect for all the pizzerias in Chicago. Some of my favorite pizzas in Chicago. So, but we're just happy to be here, and it seems like we've have a nice welcome. So we're really grateful to be here.
Now, the official opening was about an hour ago, 11 o'clock this morning, but you had a soft opening earlier in the week. And what did you learn from the soft opening as you move into the official phase right now?
I think we learned that there's not a lot of Sicilian pizzerias out here, and that we definitely have a differentiator in the market, being that we're a Sicilian-style pizzeria from New York City. You know, you don't have to wait 45 minutes for our pizza or sit at a bar. We're an original slice shop, so you could come in, and as soon as you get inside, there's long lines now, but we deliver a really premium product quickly. So that's what we've learned thus far. You know, we're under the gun now with the long lines, and we're doing our best to get through them and, you know, deliver happiness with every slice.
Now, this is your 15th location across the country. Most of the others are in Southern California, but you do have locations in Miami, Las Vegas, and Toronto. Now, when you move into a new city outside of New York, is it what do you learn about that, about any potential future market before you come in there?
As I select markets, I like to make sure that there's at least two professional sports teams. You know, so those are things what we look for when we enter new markets. But what we learned that is every market loves a great product, and every market really appreciates a quality pizzeria. I think that's what we deliver is a premium product. At an affordable price.
And then a number of your other locations are in Southern California. And what was it about Southern California that made that marketplace so attractive? Was it simply just the sheer number of New Yorkers who moved out there and they wanted a taste of back east?
Yeah, our original location in New York City gets a lot of tourists, a lot of people from Los Angeles, Toronto, Chicago, Las Vegas, and Miami. So we were well known before we even entered the market, just having that like cult following. So that's why we picked the markets we do, is because, you know, my partner, my operating partner here, David Choi, he kept on bugging me to open up in Chicago. And I was like, man, that's a pizza town. I don't think he's like, no, trust me, you got to be here. We need your pizza here. And so I kind of said, all right, if you're going to be my operating partner, we'll do it. So we have a great crew of longtime Chicago operators, Matt Chu from Chu Kwan Bakery and David Choi from Soul Tacos, who are our operating partners down here, helping us make sure we really tap into the community. And you know, we want to be embraced by the community and help out schools, charities, whatever we can to really tap into the community vibe. I know it's going to be a lot of hype right now, but at the core of our business is we're a mom and pop family pizzeria, you know, just trying to deliver a quality product with every bite.
Well, good luck in Chicago. Lawrence Longo, CEO of Prince Street Pizza, 15 locations across the country now, including just west of downtown Chicago, 939 West Randolph in the fashionable West Loop. Thank you for joining us today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Closing arguments are next in the corruption trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. The much-hailed Gaza ceasefire deal remains just a proposal. It's Technology Thursday. Some content creators are shifting their focus to other social media platforms as the possible shutdown of TikTok looms. And for the first time ever, the Super Bowl will be streaming for free. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is down 70 points. The NASDAQ is down 116. The S&P 500 is down 8.5. We have 36 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, the Madigan legal team has rested its case at its federal corruption trial in Chicago. The former Illinois House Speaker took the stand on four different days, spending a total of about 12 hours testifying on his own behalf. Closing arguments are expected to take place next week. Israel's cabinet hasn't yet approved the ceasefire deal in Gaza because of what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls a last-minute crisis with Hamas. The details from CBS's Cammie McCormick.
There were celebrations by Palestinians in Doha, and the aid trucks are ready to roll through the Rafah crossing. There is disappointment from some in Israel, where protesters carried mock coffins. This man lost his son, a soldier, on October 7th.
This deal, it's a very dangerous deal for the hostages that will stay in Gaza, for the security of Israel.
Israeli airstrikes have continued in Gaza, even while Hamas has said it's committed to the ceasefire agreement.
Under the deal, some but not all of the hostages would be released. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are lower. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando, Florida. Gary, thank you for joining us today. Gary, first off, and this is the most important question given the last 10 minutes, can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly.
Oh, Gary, you know, I'm always happy to hear your voice on this program, but I am especially relieved to hear you now. Thank you for joining us today. And let's talk a little bit about the strong start to earnings season so far. The banks kicked off the fourth quarter of 2024 earnings season yesterday, and it's plugging along at a fairly nice pace. 77% of companies reporting so far beating expectations. And what does that say for the rest of earnings season?
Well, companies are very good at their guidance being a little bit below what they're going to come in at, and the banks did another great job of it. and it just helps the market. But the most important part of the equation yesterday was yield, the 10-year yield tanking for whatever reason this week. One of the big problems the market's had over the last couple of months is that yields went from 3.6 at the low a few months ago to 4.8 on the 10-year, and that has provided some big headwinds to the point. Going into this week, the average S&P 500 stock was down 18% from the highs. So it's good to see, and we have another day today where yields are down. That's the cost of capital from the consumer all the way to the biggest business, and it matters a lot. So hopefully it stays down, and I think the market will do okay if that occurs.
Come Monday, it seems like a lot of questions are going to be answered just about what businesses and what we can expect from a financial policy standpoint from the incoming Trump administration, because since late in the evening of November 5th, it seems like the equities market and the bond market has been like a case of the head and the heart. The equities market with setting sky-high expectations of what the Trump administration could deliver economically, and then the bond market saying, well, on the other hand, and are we going to see that pattern continue next week?
Yeah, look, there's always the hope, but then there's the reality that no matter what, they're going to be going through a maze of voting and proposals and putting things together. That's going to take a while. But the one thing we do know is we got the opposite in Trump, what Kamala Harris was proposing, which was hiking taxes on just about anything that would move. And now we're getting proposals on lowering taxes on anything that move, including the one that, taxing on tips for waiters and waitresses and bartenders. And we'll see how that plays out. And look, I'm always a big believer you keep more money in the economy and let it flourish. Better for profits, better for growth, better for hiring, and we'll get to find out soon enough. For the Republicans, they have the House and the Senate also, but very little room in the House. If one or two people go bye-bye, nothing will get done, and we'll be back into gridlock.
And then what's your read on inflation? We had the CPI and the PPI both come out this week. Wholesale prices coming in well below estimates, and then the CPI pointing in the right direction at the very least.
Yeah, well, the rate of inflation is way down because the Fed's not printing to $9 trillion bucks anymore, which caused a ton of it. So I think we're in good stead there. The big issue is, will prices that are very elevated in so many areas come down? That's another horse of a different color, especially, by the way, which really counts, insurance costs, not only health, but, the housing, what just happened in L.A., that's going to get really interesting. So rate of inflation down, prices. The hope is that if they do something good in government and lower the spending and get the budgets under control, that the rest follows. But you never know. There's so many moving parts to inflation, so many different products to inflation. Time will tell. But if they pump a ton of oil, that potentially brings oil prices down. So there's so many ways to be looking at it.
Gary Kulpbaum, President Kulpbaum Capital Management in Orlando, thank you for joining us today. You can find him online at GaryK.com. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, content creators look at the possibility of a future without TikTok.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. TikTok creators are preparing for a future without the app, shifting to other platforms and personal websites as they adapt and diversify their online presence. Joining us to discuss is Rachel Michelle Moretti, TikTok and social media influencer. Find her online, rachelmoretti.com, and on Instagram at Rachel Michella. Rachel, thank you for joining us today. And not only were you on Entrepreneur Friday a couple of months ago, you were part of our power-packed all-star panel just a couple of back in the fall about the future of TikTok. You can still find it online on our social media channels. But the big discussion back then, Rachel, was will the ban actually take effect? And now it's staring us in the face, potentially taking effect on Sunday. What did you do to prepare for that eventuality? And when did you start preparing?
Hi, I'm so happy to be back. It's definitely been something that's been in the back of my mind. And I think one of the main takeaways here is to make sure that you make your social presence aware on all the different types of channels. I predominantly use TikTok, but I also made sure that I made a digital footprint on Instagram, and I've also utilized more of my website as well, as along with trying to stay up to date with other platforms that are kind of blooming in the horizon as well. So just be multifaceted and make sure you're kind of leaving little digital footprints everywhere.
Now, when we had this discussion back in October, I think the unsaid thing as part of the discussion about the ins and outs of TikTok was that it'll never get to the point where they actually institute the ban, that there would be a divestiture would happen, or maybe the Supreme Court would step in and force a say. That is still a possibility. So when did we make the pivot from maybe this is going to happen to this is going to happen and I have to be prepared?
I think it kind of just happened like last month, to be honest. Like, I know we had all heard a little bit more about it, and working in the social media and marketing field myself as a social media manager for an ag tech company, we kept hearing from TikTok, like their reps, that, oh, you know, this is not going to happen. This is just something that they're saying, but, you know, we're very secure that you can't take it away. And now, out of the blue, I feel like it's like all sped up the process, and now we're here, and it may be gone on Sunday. So it's been such a surreal experience, because I was definitely one of the main people that didn't believe it was happening. I still have a little sliver of hope that somehow someone else will buy it and it'll just pop up under a new name or under new ownership after the ban, but you can never be too sure.
Now, where are most people going? Because yesterday we had another one of our panelists, Matt Wren of VRAR Chicago, saying that in the TikTok community, there is a little bit of anger, resentment at Meta, because some TikTokers believe that Meta is responsible for lobbying for this ban, so that they're going elsewhere. They're not going to Instagram Reels or Facebook Reels because they're angry at Facebook, they're angry at Meta. Outside of that, though, you're backed up on Instagram. Where are other people going?
So I've heard through the grapevine the last couple of days that the new app that is kind of blowing up is Red Note. And I believe a lot of people are migrating from TikTok to that app. It's like the new shiny bright toy. But I will say that there is a lot of, you know, hesitation with it. A lot of people are not too sure whether or not they can trust the app, but I, for one, downloaded it a couple of nights ago, and it seems eerily similar to TikTok in a fusion of Instagram, and it's a great way to sort of continue on the trek of meeting new people, learning more video editing. It's easy for you to get views on it, kind of how TikTok was in the beginning, and there's even a like top trending hashtag called TikTok Refugee. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about it, I feel like a lot of people are migrating towards that app.
Let's just say, though, that that there is a stay of execution, and that the TikTok is able to stay in the United States, an American-based operator comes in. Are we going to get to a point, though, where other video sharing services similar to TikTok proliferate, and that there's no longer just a central hub for creators to go, that you have a few people over here, a few people over here, and a few people over there? And what is that going to do to the content creation community?
Well, I think the content creation community is so vast. I mean, there's so many different types of creators out there. And although one of them tends to prefer one platform over the other, I think it's so important for them. And I think this shows that you have to be multifaceted. Like, you can't just be one like style creator. You can't just rely solely on one type of app, because you never know what's going to happen. And that's the one thing that this TikTok ban has really showed me, that I'm glad that I kept up with my website that I made like at the beginning of my career. So goodness forbid, if something happens on Instagram or happens with Meta, I can back everything up to my website and still have some way to show brands like, hey, I'm still working. I'm still, you know, a creator. It just may look a little bit different. So I think that's the key takeaway with something like this, is just to make sure that you're well-versed on all the new platforms that are coming up and keep yourself up to date with a lot of the new updates too.
Rachel Moretti, TikTok and social media influencer. Find her online, rachelmoretti.com. You'll also find her on Instagram at Rachel Michella. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, planning a vacation with the spin of a wheel.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A new TikTok travel trend, vacation roulette, is growing in popularity. Let's learn about it with Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona. The website, travelbta.com. Angie, thank you for joining us today. And while we still can, let's talk about this latest TikTok trend in travel, vacation roulette. How does it work?
I think it's the notion of whether or not people are indecisive, they can't choose a destination, or maybe mom, dad, and the kids can't agree on the destination. And it just adds a lot of spontaneity when you're willing to take it to chance, draw straws, or pick out of a hat.
And then basically you just, if you're stuck on like two or three different ideas, instead of continuing to have angst about where do we go of those two or three different ideas, put it in the hat, tape it to a wheel, just leave it to chance.
Right, right. And I do. I think it adds to the spontaneity. I mean, hopefully the choices are all agreeable, but as to picking which one, you leave it a little bit to chance, and then you have fun once you make that decision. There's still, of course, a lot of planning that goes into travel, whether you're choosing between Iceland and Greece, very different destinations. Once you're there, you can really choose your activities that best resonate with the travelers.
I was going to say, Angie, there's definitely a push and pull between, let's be spontaneous, let's be off the cuff, let's just roll the dice and see what happens, versus other elements of travel, which is you better have everything planned down to the second, many months in advance, otherwise you're going to miss out on X, Y, and Z. So this seems like this, it combines the best of both.
It is a great combination. It allows you to say, okay, I'm going to kind of take a chance here, but I'm going to be smart about it and I'm going to plan ahead. So we're not suggesting that you pick out of that hat 3 days before travel, but rather you make that decision, add that spontaneity to the start of your trip planning. And we've had clients who have even come to us saying, we don't know where we want to go. These are the things we want to do. Just surprise us. And they roll with it. And it is a lot of fun. We've also had situation, I think that this is a great, you know, geography lesson for your children. We've had families tell us that their kids do PowerPoint presentations, and then collectively the family kind of votes on those destinations. So yes, you know, it's not leaving it to chance, but it really is, you know, creating this opportunity to build creativity into your planning, and also allowing children to have a chance to really learn about these destinations prior to travel.
Now, I like this idea because my kids learn how to make PowerPoint presentations, how to make videos, and all sorts of other forms of media in school. So why not turn this into an opportunity as like a brand building exercise? Like if you want to go to Destination X, you really have to put on the old razzle dazzle for mom and dad.
Right, right. And the destination that wins might be based on who puts more work into their presentation. So yes, you're leaving it a little bit to chance as the parents, because the kids might pick an expensive destination or maybe some place that you hadn't thought of. But I agree. I think it's fun to be creative, roll the dice a little bit. Maybe you have three destinations, you can't decide, knowing that hopefully this isn't the last vacation. It's really, what are we going to do next vacation? And you can build upon that with all these different ideas when you allow yourself to be creative in the process, for sure. And again, leaving it to chance. We see a lot of couples, for example, we're just leaving the holiday season, where they're planning trips as gifts. And so there's an element of surprise where you unfold, you open a gift and find out where that travel plan may be. Those destinations, oftentimes you have different personalities. Some people like city travel, some people like off the beaten path. So, you know, we all have to compromise a little bit to enjoy time vacationing with our loved ones.
Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors, based in Scottsdale, Arizona. The website, travelbta.com.